time to meet the men from the ministry. We present Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler in The Men from the Ministry, a weekly tribute to the men of our government service. In many jobs, people begin full of enthusiasm, but gradually get lazy and bored. Ministry men aren't like that. They're bone idle from the start. Over now to the General Assistance Department, where that eager young executive, Richard Lamb, is trembling with excitement.
Juan, oh, I've got marvelous news for you.
Not my knighthood, at last. Well, I mean, it had to come, you know. Sir Derek Lennox Brown, dear. That'll look well on my library ticket.
It's not you, and it's me. I've come up with another invention.
Oh, too, don't get me all excited like that for nothing. Could be extremely harmful. Oh,
sorry, Juan.
Invention, eh? Hmm. And what is it this time? Something better than your easy release braces, I hope.
Those braces were nearly a great success. I went down to the patent office and showed them everything.
Yes, I know. Pretty embarrassed they were.
This is a special one. It'll help our balance of payments.
Well, I doubt it. Still, go on, break it to me gently, too.
You know the government are very worried about all the luxury goods we have to import.
Yes, I know, too. Yes, wines and perfumes and so on, yes.
Well, I've invented a British perfume.
Oh, glory.
I boiled some geraniums and filtered the liquid through an old pullover. Then I added a drop of ink to give it colour and some aftershave for smell, and here it is, there. I call it Midnight in Mayfair.
Oh, good grief. Oh. I call it Evening in Changing Room.
Don't you see any possibilities for it?
Well, only one. If we keep it here, we'll have the sanitary inspector up again.
Honestly, you're always putting me down. Perhaps when I'm dead and gone, people will realise what I've done.
Don't worry, too. You'll be out of harm's way by then. Oh, get rid of that muck, will you? And stop wasting our time with such harebrained schemes.
It's a balance of payment, Juan.
Two, when Sir Hector told us to concentrate on import-export problems, he didn't want us to mess about inventing things and boiling geraniums.
Well, we'd better come up with something soon, or Sir Hector Gunn will turn ugly.
No turning needed. He's built that way.
He already dislikes us because you made fun of his name.
Yes, well, never again, too. I didn't realize Hector Gunn had no sense of humor. No more gun jokes for me, I can tell you.
Ah, there you are, Lennox Brown.
Oh, yes. Good morning, Sir Hector.
I've got some points to raise.
Of course, Sir Hector. Far away.
Lennox Brown. How many more times must I tell you I hate jokes about my name? Hate them, do you hear?
Well, quite accidental, Sir Hector. I mean, I wouldn't insult a man of your caliber. I mean, of your standing? There?
I don't know whether it's insolence or just plain idiocy.
On the carpet?
And what are you doing, Lamb? You seem to be trying to climb into a drawer of your filing cabinet. Not afraid of me, are you?
I'm not, Sir Hector. I was just going through the files.
Why?
I thought you might want to see our export records. There's a summary in here.
Really?
Yes. If you got that in your head, you'd have it in a nutshell.
No, look, remember, both of you, I don't like sacking valuable men, but sacking you would be no problem at all.
Perhaps we should start all over again, Sir Hector.
Perhaps we'd better.
Yes.
Now, I'm here to talk about this export business, of course.
Yes.
That planning job I gave you. Have you forgotten about that?
Not yet, Sir Hector. Oh, my word, no. We've been thinking hard. There are lots of ideas, you know, but it's a little too soon for anything definite.
Yes, well, I'll give you something definite.
What's that, Sir Hector?
Raspberries.
Raspberries?
The government have been encouraging our farmers to grow soft fruits. Now we've got a huge crop of raspberries, more than we bargained for. And wherever I go, I get raspberries. The government's had to buy up all these raspberries, and they've been wondering what to do with them.
Do they want us to tell them, Sir Hector?
No, I've already told them.
Oh.
The raspberries must be canned and exported. That's where you come in.
But we've no canning facilities here. We'll do what we can, but we can't can, can we?
Drivel, man. I know you can't can the stuff yourselves. Your job is to find some people who can can.
People who can can?
People who can can. Scott, too long in this office and I start talking like a fool.
Oh.
Now, I want you to find a merchandising firm who'll carry through the whole job, canning, exporting, and mounting a big advertising campaign.
A lot of money for someone's actor.
Exactly. You've got a fat government contract to bestow, so mind you don't make a mess of it. Further details from my secretary, so get on with it.
More savage than ever today, old gun.
Never mind. He's gone off now.
I heard that. Just watch it, both of you. Just watch it.
Dear me. We'd better find a firm to deal with those raspberries.
We could ask old Fruity Father. He knows about these things.
That's a good idea, yes. I say, where's Mildred this morning? She hasn't brought my 11s. In fact, by now it's 11:45.
Have you noticed, Ron? Mildred's in a funny mood these days, always grumbling.
Yes, well, now you mention it, too. She has been rather surly lately. Yes, she has. Well, but if she's got a problem, I must try and help her.
Please.
Yeah, I mean, I'm responsible for the welfare of my staff, you know. Yes.
Here. I'm afraid it's a bit cold. I couldn't find the tea cosy.
Oh, thank you, Mildred. I thought you'd forgotten.
Well, you're lucky to get tea, aren't you? Some tarpies wouldn't do it, you know. Fetching the water from the ladies and boiling it on the gas ring in the cubbyhole, standing on the cold lino and smuggling the sugar up from the canteen in me hanky.
Have you quite finished, Mildred?
8 times a day I bring tea in here.
Oh, that's not true, Mildred. Sometimes we have cocoa.
Yes, you know, you're not your usual perky self, Mildred. Mr. Lamb said he thought you were, in trouble.
Yes, and Mr. Lennox Brown said he's responsible.
You are?
Mildred, you see, now, if there's something worrying you, just please tell us.
Is anything wrong in the office?
Is anything right in the office? More like it. For a start, there's a broken window pane just by where I sit.
But I blocked that up with the top secret file.
Well, what about the light over me desk? I ask you, where else can you find a 10-watt bulb?
Oh, yes, but we did remove the shade to make it brighter.
And who else has a desk with only 3 legs? I have to rest the fourth corner on me knee.
No, you don't. I showed you how to keep it up with 2 waste paper baskets on top of each other.
And that washroom's a disgrace. Every time I turn the tap on, the pipes all shake and the door flies open. A lady's washroom should have privacy.
I've been looking into it, Mildred.
Yeah, and that's another thing. I tell you, this place is primitive. It's a living scandal. I've just about had enough, so there.
You're right, too. Yeah. She isn't entirely happy.
And another thing, she spends an awful lot of time on the telephone. Hmm. I don't know what it's all about.
Hello, this is Mildred Murphin, to whom you are addressing.
Come off it, Mildred. You don't need your posh voice. It's your loving boyfriend, Bernard.
Oh, hello, Bernard. I suppose you want to know if I've decided.
You said you'd make up your mind today.
Well, the thing is, I don't know if I should. I mean, is it right for a girl like me to do it?
Of course it is, Mildred. I told you on Saturday night. All the girls do it nowadays.
Well, are you sure?
Yeah. Greta's done it, and Karen's done it, and Mavis does it all the time.
Yeah, well, I'm not like the girls down the youth club, Bernard. I think it's a serious step to take. I mean, changing jobs is... Well, it's like changing your whole way of life.
A change is what you need, especially when these other people offer more money.
But I felt guilty just going for the interview.
You're crazy. You're wasting the best years of your life in the civil service. Private enterprise. That's where the action is.
Yeah, and it's a smashing firm. Big modern office block, thick carpets in every room, and sexy music in the lift.
So what's keeping you, Mildred? Handing your notice now.
Well, I can't do it now, can I? They're both still out at lunch.
Typical. They leave you in charge while they're out living it up. I suppose old Lennox Brown's still up his club.
Yeah, he says he needs 4 glasses of port to digest his steak. Of course, Mr. Lamb can't afford that. He'd be sitting on the embankment watching the coal barges go by.
Yeah, well, meantime, you carry the can. It's not good enough. The sooner you leave them, the better. Go now, Mild. Make up your mind by tonight, eh? I'll see you then, inside the pally. Ta-ra.
Oh.
Ah, Miss Murphy.
Oh, Sir Ector. Can I help you?
I'm looking for that awful pair. They should be working at full tilt on this export business. Where are they? It's gone 3:30.
Mr. Lennox Brown is, doing a survey of British ports.
And Mr. Lamb?
He's looking at our shipping resources.
I never knew an office like it. Have they no sense of priorities? They should be getting on with those raspberries.
Yes, Sir Rector.
You'll have to pull your socks up, all of you. That includes you, Miss Murphy.
Yes, Sir Rector. I'll tell Mr. Lennox Brown you were gunning for him. Sorry, sir. Oh, blimey, if he ever smiled, his face would crack. Oh, I don't know. What a place this is.
Ah, hello, Mildred. Was that Sir Hector I saw disappearing around the corner?
Yeah. He's just been in here carrying on something chronic.
Oh, don't let him get you down. I don't. What did he want?
He was looking, he said, for that awful pair.
Really? Well, I don't know about awful pears, but on Mr. Lamb's desk is a rotten apple. Yeah, it's been there for days. It's all dried up and wrinkled. Never seen anything like it.
Afternoon, Ron.
Oh, I don't know, though. Perhaps I have. Yeah. By Jove, you know, that extra bottle of wine did me good. Well, come on, Mildred, cheer up. You're sitting there like a wet night in Manchester. And what about some tea?
That's all you think about, isn't it? Cut the tea. You don't think about me sitting here slaving while you're cavorting about enjoying yourself, while I'm stuck here making excuses for you and getting bawled out by Sir Hector while you're out noshing and boozing. I'm fed up with it, I am.
Oh, well, Mildred, if you're not happy here, you know what to do.
Yeah, I do. I'm going to hand in my notice. And what's more, I've got a job all lined up.
Really?
Yeah. I'm leaving the civil service and going into private enterprise. I answered an ad in the paper a few weeks ago.
Not the one that said, girls wanted for pickling and bottling?
No, Mr. Lamb. I'm going to be a private and personal secretary. So if you'll excuse me, I'll go next door and take out my resignation.
Well, she really means it. This is awful.
I can hardly believe it. Leaving the civil service? Well, look what she's losing. Her pension, free drying facilities for her galoshes, a thank you letter from the management every 30 years.
And the canteen food. She'll be throwing that up.
Well, too, it's her decision. I shan't try to dissuade her.
Quite right, man.
Come to think of it, you know, I never liked the way she stirred my tea with her comb handle.
She didn't always remember to warm the pot. This may be a blessing in disguise.
Yes. Well, I'll get on to old Cumberland Grant of personnel. He knows all the girls. He'll send us someone really efficient. We'll see a few changes around here. You mark my words. Two.
Hmm?
Two. Mind what you're doing with that biscuit. Look, you've got crumbs all inside my sleeve.
Oh, sorry, it's so cramped here in the map cupboard. Can't we have elevenses round your desk?
Two, if this new girl sees us, she'll find us jobs to do.
But, Ron, are you going to let a new secretary frighten you? Are you a man or a mouse?
I'm not sure, Two, but I want to eat my cheese sandwich in peace. Fancy old Grant sending us a girl who's new to the civil service. She's no idea. All she thinks about is work.
She'll soon learn, man.
Yes, until she does, I'm spending as much time as possible hiding in this map cupboard.
Sorry to disturb you, gentlemen. Am I interrupting
something? Good morning, Susan.
Mr. Lamb and I were checking the maps.
We thought perhaps you weren't in yet, Susan.
Oh, I've been here since 8 o'clock, sir.
Ah, good. Yes, good. Now, what work have we got today?
Oh, I've already done today's work, sir. And in accordance with my civil servant's handbook, para 727, I'm now dealing with tomorrow's.
I can't believe it. It's not natural.
But there are some special jobs that need your personal attention. Very odd. Several urgent files had slipped down behind the radiator. Would you believe it?
Some
of them had even got themselves stuck there with chewing gum. Lucky I found them, wasn't it? I thought you'd want to tackle them straight away. Now, first, there's this Wilsdon sewage report.
Ah, yes, they've had trouble with their sewage there, yes. Mr. Lamb will drop in next week.
And there's this dry rot problem in the House of Commons.
Ah, they've formed a committee to deal with the roof. Mr. Lennox Brown's going to sit on it.
Splendid. Well, that's work dealt with. It's been a very good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You're going, sir, are you?
Oh, I have to, I'm afraid. I've got to deal with these race problems.
Oh, the race relations board.
No, my race selection's for Newmarket. I'll try and look in again this afternoon if I have a moment.
Just a minute, sir. The most important job's these raspberries. Sir Hexagon's been asking what progress you've made.
Oh, glorious.
I found a suitable firm to handle the job, and I've arranged for you both to go there this afternoon.
Thank you, Susan.
Your appointment's 3 o'clock, and the firm's called Mann, Tipples and Greaves. If you'll excuse me, sir, I have to nip over to the admin section. I've discovered they've been doing some work that we should do.
Susan, wait.
Don't worry, sir. Leave it all to me. I'll get it all back.
Oh, dear. Did you hear that, Runner? She's looking for work. It's positively obscene.
Oh, good grief, too. What have we let ourselves in for? Oh, why did we let Mildred go?
Heaven knows, man. Dear old Mildred. I wonder what she's doing now.
Would you like a cup of tea, Mr. Blind?
Tea, Mildred? I'd positively loathe it. But you can mix me a dry martini.
Oh, this job isn't half a change from the ministry. Do you know, when my typewriter ribbon wore out, they made me rub me mascara on it to save getting a new one.
My dear child, you can forget tedious typing now. You're my private and personal secretary.
Yeah, but it doesn't seem like work somehow. I mean, just booking tables in restaurants for business lunches and holding up your menu for you.
Your job is to keep me happy, my dear child. There'll be other things later.
Ooh.
What is it?
Every time you call me your dear child, I get all goose pimples up my spine.
But you have enjoyed your first week here.
Oh, yeah. It's ever so smart and witty.
Oh, yes, indeed. Our entrance hall alone cost £50,000, you know.
Well, it's worth it. All that panelling and fountains, and the blonde lady sitting at that shiny desk. And nothing on it except a single rose in a silver vase.
And the brown suede telephone, of course. Yes, that was my idea, you know.
It's a bit different from the ministry entrance. Old Matthews in his cubbyhole blowing his nose on an old tea towel.
By the way, we may be doing a little job for the government. 2 ministry men are calling this afternoon.
Oh, shall I open the hospitality cabinet?
Oh, no. We don't waste drinks on these inferior beings. No, it's a very simple matter.
Oh, I'll take it, sir. This is Mr. Bland's personal secretary to whom you are addressing to. Yes? Very well. Please show them up. The men from Whitehall, sir. They're on the way up.
Ah, good. Well, I'll slip into the inner office. You tell them I'm on the phone to New York. Then I'll make an impressive entrance in a moment or two.
Oh, I'm all of a doodah. Fancy me meeting 2 big government officials. You may enter.
Ah, this is Mr. Bland's office. Good gracious.
Oh.
My word, man. Doesn't this girl look like Mildred?
Oh, don't be daft. Who it is, Mildred?
Of course it is, Mr. Lamb.
Is this fellow Bland in? He's expecting us.
Yes. Mr. Bland will give you a second or two of his time. He's so busy, you know. He's on the phone to America at this very moment, on business.
Really, Mildred? Business with whom?
Frank Sinatra.
And how do you like working here, Mildred, coping with all their silly blunders?
Mr. Lamb, there's no blunders here. Mr. Bland is a super boss. He's efficient and kind, and he's ever so strong.
I must say, it's a most impressive office, Mildred. This carpet's so deep, I can't see my shoes.
Yes, well, of course. I mean, we could have carpets like this in our office if we wanted to. But I always feel one thinks better on bare boards.
Oh, here's Mr. Bland now.
So sorry to keep you waiting, gentlemen. Cigarettes? Oh, no. Drinks? No. Then let's get down to business, shall we?
Yes. Well, Mr. Bland, we've come about this fruit to be canned and exported.
We want to send raspberries to the rest of the world.
Yes, well, I've had the details from your secretary, so things can swing into action as soon as you give the okay.
You're sure you can handle the whole business?
Oh, of course. I've devised a most attractive can for the product, curving in at the middle. A sex symbol, of course.
Oh, good gracious, Mr. Bland. We want people to eat these raspberries, not have an affair with them. Well, where's the canning being done?
Oh, all that sort of thing's handled by our subsidiaries, you see. On the wrapper, there'll be the usual bargain offer coupon. Buyers send it in with a pound and get a pair of knickers.
Have we got lots of knickers?
Well, we buy them at Harridge's for 7 and 6. Now, our advertising office is ready to move campaign-wise.
Oh, and what will they use, slogan-wise?
See this can, don't just gasp, open quick, and have a rasp.
Oh. Well done, Mr. Bland. I'm sure he should do the job, aren't you, one?
Yes, all right, then.
And I'm certain it'll be a great success, raspberry-wise.
Mantibles and Greaves, Mr. Bland's personal and private secretary speaking.
Come off it, Mill. It's only me, Bernard.
Oh, hello. What do you want?
Well, tomorrow's Friday. It's our night out, isn't it?
Not this week, Bernard.
But I haven't seen you for 2 blooming weeks. You're always out with that smoothie boss of yours.
It's business, Bernard.
Yeah, and I know the kind of business he's giving you.
Don't you be so cheeky. Mr. Bland's been very busy for the last fortnight doing a big export job for the government.
Well, what about tomorrow? I thought we'd get on the old bike and do a ton up the M1. You know, drop in Nat's calf for a couple of cod burgers and that.
No, Bernard. I have to be at Covent Garden. I'm going to the Barber of Seville.
Can't you get your hair cut another night?
It's an opera. Don't be so ignorant. And after that, Mr. Bland's taking me to the Ivory Tower for a noche, for dinner.
Yeah, well, you watch out. I know his sort. All good night drinks and 2 for breakfast.
Bernard, he's a real gent. And so clever. There's never any muddles in this office. Oh, I'll give you a ring next month. Ta-ra. Blooming cheek. Oh, Mr. Bland, you're back from lunch early.
Cross that restaurant off our list, Mildred. My martini was shaken, not stirred.
Oh, very good, Mr. Bland.
When we're alone in the office like this, my dear child, there's no need to call me Mr. Bland. My name's Gerald.
Oh, fancy. My auntie had a tomcat called Gerald. That's funny, he was always...
Quite so. not much work in the office this afternoon, so... Let's you and I have a little drinky, hmm?
Oh, thank you very much.
Have you tried this tea? Lie down, sit down and relax.
Oh, yeah, all right.
You seem rather nervous, my dear child. Still, a tiny double gin should settle that.
Yeah, mind, you lad of my tights.
Well, let's get to know each other better, shall we? Now then, Mildred.
Excuse me, Mr. Bland.
Campbell, how dare you burst in here when I'm in conference? I left orders I wasn't to be disturbed.
Oh, sorry, sir. I thought it was just the two of you.
Yes, well, my secretary was going to take down a few things for me.
It's these cans, sir, for that government export order.
Don't ramble, Campbell. Get them sent off at once.
Well, they've already gone, sir. But I just wondered why you wanted to export empty cans.
What do you mean, empty? Oh, they're full of raspberries.
No, sir. I've just had the cargo tallies. All the cans have been sealed and sent off empty. Nobody told the factory about the raspberries.
How blimey!
Empty cans. Oh, I can't bear it. They've bungled it.
It's you, sir. You'll have to carry the can.
Oh, shut up, Campbell. This is no time for jokes. What am I going to do? Help me, somebody.
It's all that fuss about the labels and the adverts. That's why you forgot about the raspberries.
You all go away, Miss Melvin. Don't you care about my reputation? I lose my chairmanship of the Guild of Smooth Operators. Campbell, arrange a flight to my villa in the Bahamas. I'll be away for a year. Look quickly, man.
Well, I together. Mr. Lamb and Mr. Lennox Brown dropped a few clangers in their time, but they never behaved like this. Farmers, indeed. That's a coward's way out.
Yes, and I'm a coward.
Oh, I've never been so disgusted in all me natural. I'm off, and I won't be back.
Not often we're still in the office at 6 o'clock, well.
Oh, still, it was worth it. Yeah. Yes, we just hear the news and then we'll amble up to my club for a drink.
I say, you're inviting me to your club?
Well, why not to, eh? Why not? This export triumph calls for a celebration. Oh, good gracious, what's this? The return of the prodigal?
Hello, Mr. Lennox Brown, Mr. Lang.
Mildred, this is a pleasant surprise.
Oh, it's very good of you to spare a moment from the swinging scene, you know, to visit old friends.
I left Man Tipples and Greaves this afternoon, sir.
Dear me, dear me. Still, plenty more jobs on Easy Street, eh?
Sir, I've got some awful news for you.
You mean your friend and ex-employer, old Smoothie Pants, has made a monumental blunder?
How did you know?
We usually have a few feelers out, Mildred.
Yeah, and so did he. But don't you see, they'll blame you for all those empty tins being exported.
Yes, we did foresee that possibility, Mildred, and we made certain arrangements. Oh, switch the radio on, too, will you?
Yes.
We missed the news.
Right.
Here is the news read by John Curl.
Just in time.
A new triumph for British trade. It was announced today that big orders are pouring in from abroad for Britain's latest export, canned London air. Ministry spokesman Derek Lennox Brown told reporters today that it was an idea he had long cherished. He said, "This health-giving air is full of historical associations and intriguing odours. It will be a boon for foreigners who cannot afford the fare to Britain." There are plans to follow up with cans of hot air from the House of Commons. There were remarkable scenes at London Airport today when London business executive Mr. Gerald Thackeray Bland was found running amok on the runways. He was forcibly restrained from mounting the tail of a transatlantic jet, shouting, "This is the end."
Switch it off, too, will you?
Oh, it's a blooming miracle. I don't know what to say.
Well, don't say anything, Mildred. Just come and join us for a drink at my club. We have a mixed bar now, you know.
Oh, thank you, sir. Oh, what a nana I've been. When I look at the dear old office, same as ever. Biscuits on the desk. Yes. Carpet slippers warming on the radiator. Yes. I just envy the girl who took my place.
Susan? Oh, she's left Mildred.
Yes, after working with us, she became so efficient there was no holding her.
So it just happens that the post here is vacant.
You don't mean... Oh, could I come back, Mr. Lennox Brown?
Well, it might be arranged, my friend. To ring personnel and tell them the vacancy's filled.
Oh, how marvellous. How can I ever thank you?
Just remember, always to warm the pot.
Oh, I will, yes. Here, I've just thought of something. You're still stuck with all them raspberries.
No, we've had them crushed and made into wine by a firm up north. It'll help reduce our imports of foreign liquor.
We have a sample here. It's called Burgundy-type Raspberry Wine, Chateau Wolverhampton, 1970. Would you care to try a drop?
Go on, and have a little drop. It's real good. Thank you.
Muddling through as the men from the Ministry were Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. Also featured were Norma Ronald, John Graham, Gordon Clyde and Joe Manning Wilson. The program was written by Edward Taylor and John Graham and produced by Edward Taylor.